nearly 10 years ago, in December 2005, we were in Corrie one evening to hear a talk from a Good Shepherd sister who had come from New York regarding the problem of human trafficking. Maura here with me had already encountered it abroad and was very moved by it. But when we watched the movie Fields of Mudan, there were about 80 of us in the room, we were all so incensed about this terrible evil in our midst that we felt we just have to do something about this without any further delay. And that very day, we set up this group of sisters and priests to do something about raising awareness regarding human trafficking.
So really, it's faith in action.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was. We said we need to, first of all, raise awareness about the problem and then address the political issue. That meant that we had to lobby the government. We were invited to speak to the Joint Directors Committee on Justice. We did that, and we were part of the lobby that led to making it a crime in 2008 to traffic a person into Ireland. Until then, it was not a crime to do so.
And Sister Maura, you're a retired doctor now, but you've huge experience in terms of working with people who've been trafficked, and particularly with prostitutes and so on in both London, and I think you mentioned something about Bangkok. Would you like to share a bit about that?
I worked with CAFOD for several years on anti-trafficking work, and they had programs overseas which I was meant to be evaluating and assessing, and as part of my work that brought me to Bangkok, where I was invited to a meeting of women who were trying to get prostitutes out of the profession, if you like to call it such. And they just invited me, and in the course of the meeting they said, "And what opinion have you, Maura?" And of course I said, "Well, I don't have any opinion, because my exposure to prostitution was through my clinical work and sexually transmitted diseases exclusively." So I said, "I don't know anything about prostitution, I've never been in a brothel." And they said, "Well, would you like to come with us?" So that was really, they brought me around the streets in Bangkok into the brothels, where I saw people, children as young as 10 years of age, being abused, if you like, by the men who came in and sexually abused them.
And it's so shocking, really, to hear that children were being abused and nobody speak up. But you must have felt terribly helpless looking at this.
I felt helpless, and I was really devastated by what I saw, if you like. I couldn't believe that some of these men that came in and selected them by number. And I thought, how can these men, some of them who were possibly married, go back to their homes, to their families, to their sisters, their mothers, their wives, whoever, you know, and after this kind of exposure.
And this must have catalyzed you into action then, when you came home, and to want to actually try and do something. And that doing something was to set up APT, is that correct?
That was part of it, but as well as that, because of my work, I worked with Caritas International, and that had Caritas International was a Catholic organization, but they worked together with Christian organizations against trafficking network. And that had a very wide network. So I worked with them, and we tried to raise awareness through them. We gave workshops. We trained people on how to suspect if there was trafficking going on, or how to train people in trying to prevent it.
And what are the telltale signs of somebody being trafficked that maybe, Sister Isabel, you could shed some light on that?
Which would vary probably from country to country. But here in Ireland, for example, I would be looking out for maybe a house that has been vacant for some weeks or months, and then suddenly you notice that there's quite a noticeable amount of activity, women particularly coming in, not staying terribly long, an hour or two, and coming out again, particularly women of overseas nationality, maybe people who don't speak English, you'd recognise the age group. And that would raise your alarm. Also, if you find a distressed-looking woman, probably non-Irish, maybe not speaking English, to be able to approach the woman and ask, well, see if you can in some way convey that you're sympathetic, and she will have great difficulty trusting anybody, but you might be able to ask her, is anybody telling you that you owe them money? Because the women who are trafficked are, they're forced to pay back the cost of bringing them here, the cost of the clothes they're wearing, and they're permanently in debt.
So it's a trap.
It's an absolute trap. They don't from it. It's there's such a spectrum, it's such a wide spectrum now. A lot of women are taken from poverty. They're either sent or sold by their families or some relative, but not all. We do have cases, and we are friendly with one young woman who was taken as a university student at the age of 22. So it's not only poverty. And then, of course, as Maura will often speak, you have those who are taken for their organs. They would be very often children. About 20,000 people a year are captured for either a corneal graft, for their liver. What other organs, Maura?
The liver, the pancreas, the lungs, the kidneys, the corneas, so they're left blind. And they are actually murdered for these organs.
And they can be children, is that correct?
They can be children, they can be babies. In China, there's a huge trade going on for newly born babies for their organs.
Apart from being disgusting, it's a horrible industry. That's something. And one of the things, obviously, here that we need to do is raise awareness. Is that correct?
That's what we have been trying to do in APT. Raising awareness, as I said, we've done it through lobbying at government level, but we also go to parishes, we go to school groups, particularly we have teams of retired sisters who are retired teachers who are very good in the classroom, and they will go in, and we have several groups this year entering anti-trafficking projects in the Young Social Innovators. And we're delighted to be able to interact with that young generation. But we've been a couple of times to the Ploughing Championships, and we've taken a stall there and interacted with the thousands of people passing by. So that type of work has been effective. But it's amazing the number of people whom we still meet in our own parishes, even, who haven't heard of the problem, because it is an underground problem. The work, prostitutes today are sexual, the sale of commercial sex today doesn't happen on the streets like it used to. It's happening in apartments, it's happening behind closed doors. So it's very much an underground, the trafficking is a very much an underground activity.
It's hiding in plain sight by the sounds of it.
Yes, it is. It's hiding from our eyes. But there are things that can be done. For example, the Sisters of Mercy have a big project going on at the moment with the hospitality industry, encouraging, and they're having wonderful cooperation, I have to say, from the hospitality industry, to encourage them to set up a code of practice whereby traffickers will not find a bed to put a trafficked person in any hotel or B&B in Ireland. That would be our goal.
And all this work and all this activity that's going on by, you know, these distinguished people like yourselves and the Sisters of Mercy and so on, all this has been crystallized at the level of the Vatican with the recent announcement of the launch of this new initiative for the Global Freedom Network. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Well, we were very encouraged by this because Pope Francis, the very year he was appointed, just a few months after he was appointed, 17th of March, he issued a document speaking about the terrible trade on trafficking. And he has mentioned twice in his apostolic letter, Joy of the Gospel, he's mentioned in two separate parts about his concern about trafficking, and that is has been a concern with for him for many years.
The first time that he left the Vatican after his election was to visit the island of Lampedusa off the coast of Italy, where many people who have been trafficked are they're interned there until they are sent on further to a further detention centre, really awaiting whether they will be allowed to enter Italy or be deported. His first visit out of Rome was to Lampedusa to show the world his concern for this problem.
And this announcement, the Global Freedom Network, what exactly is it?
It seems to have begun last June when the Archbishop of Westminster, Archbishop Welby, went to Rome and discussed, they shared their concern, Pope Francis and himself, and arising from that then they felt that an interfaith group would be necessary, and they invited the Muslims to join in, and then the Imam from Egypt joined in. Now they're hoping that this will grow into a much wider interfaith network, that it will be not just Catholics and the Anglican Communion and the one branch of the Muslims, but that the other faiths will come on board as well, because it's our common humanity that is being offended. They call this trafficking a crime against humanity, and that is not said lightly. They think very long and hard before something is named a crime against humanity. So we need all the great faiths coming together. And it has been beautifully described by the Anglican Archbishop, who is the delegate in Rome. He has said that this is practical mission-based ecumenism, he said, where we can walk together in the pathway of justice. Our talking together will improve. So out of doing something in God's name together, our understanding of where we're coming from improves. And he says, on this Emmaus journey, we will meet the risen Christ who falls into step beside us. It's really quite profound theologically and in terms of practical missionary work, as well as a need to combat evil in the world. It's an evil that destroys the whole of our common humanity.
I mean, it's mad, it's insane almost to think that in 21st century Ireland, Western country, that people are still in slavery. And I don't think people are aware of this, that it's actually happening right under their own noses here.
There's probably not a village, town, and certainly not a city in Ireland, certainly not a town in Ireland, where a trafficked woman hasn't been held. The Gardaí are doing a wonderful job now. Gardaí have been trained over the last few years in this. There are some wonderful women detectives working on this, very sensitive, very well disposed towards, very empathetic towards the victims. But we really need the whole society to be behind the Gardaí in this. And of course, we have to get across the message that the human body is not for sale.